Let's open God's Word to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Read a portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, found here in Matthew 6, from verses 24 to 34 of this chapter. And we read this passage in connection with the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50, found in most Psalters in the pews on page 26 in the back. But now let's worship God by reading His Word in Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May God bless these words of our Lord Jesus to our hearts and minds today and in this week that lies before us. Let's read now the Lord's Day 50, answer 125. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even Thy gifts, can profit us without Thy blessing. And therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Beloved in Christ Jesus, the fourth petition is the first of the second section of the Lord's Prayer, the second section of petitions in which Jesus teaches us to pray for ourselves and our needs and those of all God's people in every place. The fourth petition is first, and as we'll see, that doesn't mean that it's the most important, but it does mean that we need take these words seriously. And in connection, there's a couple misconceptions about the fourth petition that we need to be aware of in our own thinking and as we pray this prayer intentionally in the presence of our children and as we have opportunity to explain it to others. And the first is that the fourth petition, because it very definitely concerns earthly things, is a petition that can be prayed by all people without distinction. It seems to require no particular spirituality to pray, give us today daily bread. This is a prayer that addresses a deeply felt need of human beings in all parts of the world and in every age. So surely even the person who does not know Christ, but who does know that they need certain things to get through the day and to get through life, can pray, "Give us daily bread." But the fact that Jesus, and following Jesus, the Apostle Paul warned in many places against the, warned God's people in many places against the service of mammon, the service of earthly things, as Jesus does in verse 24 of Matthew 6, implies that this service of mammon is a real danger, and that this service of mammon is not something incidental to humanity, but it is in fact the natural condition of every human being, apart from Jesus Christ. And that means that no person who does not have faith in the Lord Jesus, or in the God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, is able to pray rightly and spiritually, "Give us daily bread." The second misconception or opinion regarding the fourth petition that we need to beware of is the overly spiritual position that Jesus, and by extension God, is not referring here to earthly bread at all. That Jesus and the Lord God are not concerned with our earthly provision. And that the idea that Jesus would be teaching us to pray here for earthly necessities goes against what he says in Matthew 6, verses 25 and following. "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on." God knows that we have need of all of these things, he says in verse 32. "And besides, after all of these things, as we just said, and as Jesus says in verse 32, the Gentiles seek." So, we should simply seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and for the rest, simply trust that these things will be added unto us without our praying for them. But the simple words that Jesus teaches us, "Give us this day our daily bread," the position of these words in the Lord's Prayer, and the reminder that we are still on earth and not yet in heaven, all imply and indeed teach that Jesus does give us in these words a fitting prayer, a daily prayer for earthly material bread necessities. And even though we're dealing here with earthly things, to pray this prayer intentionally from the heart requires a very high spiritual maturity. This is a deeply spiritual prayer. It is not a petition that any man or woman anywhere can make, whether they believe in God or not. And besides, the warning of Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 24, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon," and the repeated warnings that the Apostle Paul gives in his epistles against trust in riches, all the manifestations of greed and covetousness in the world around us, the tale of human history, the story of our world, strife after earthly things, of man seeking always more of the things of this world, man engaging in constant and bitter opposition, war between the haves and the have-nots. And as the Apostle John says in 1 John 3, verse 15, the lust of the flesh, the lust for earthly things, for earthly comforts and pleasures, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all testify against man's ability to pray the simple words of the fourth petition. But it's not just the Gentiles who cannot pray this prayer. We can, as God's regenerate and faith-filled people, and yet we have to struggle often against the remains of indwelling sin, covetousness, and anxiety about earthly things within ourselves. And so Jesus' prayer teaches us that before we are able to pray this prayer intentionally and with the right spirituality, we may find it necessary to pray for grace to be able to pray this at all with regard to our earthly necessities and the Lord's blessing upon them. And we will certainly acknowledge that we have much to learn to be able to say, "Give us this day our daily bread in sincerity and truth." So let's consider Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34 in Lord's Day 50 under the theme, "Give us today our proper portion." Give us today our proper portion. We'll notice first what we're taught, what Jesus teaches us. Secondly, what we're praying for. And third, the spirituality we need. First, Jesus teaches us that although this petition is first in the section of petitions that deal with us and our needs, the prayer for daily bread has a second place in the Lord's Prayer. It's true that it's the first in the three petitions that deal with us and our needs. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation. And this is based on the principle which is taught throughout the scripture that the natural and earthly is first, and after that, the spiritual and heavenly. Paul speaks of that in 1 Corinthians 15, but that's true to our common experience as well. Before we need the forgiveness of sins, we need bread. Or before we can hear the word of God brought to us by a brother or sister when we are in distress, when we are in deep pain, when we are afflicted by some physical or mental affliction, it may be necessary for us to seek medical help before we are in a place where we can receive and hear God's word. If our child breaks their leg, we aren't going to have a Bible study with them before rushing for surgery. We're going to get their natural and earthly needs seen to before we attend to their spiritual well-being. So the earthly and natural is first, even though it's not the most important, and after the spiritual and heavenly. But even though the prayer for daily bread is the first in these three petitions that have to do with our needs, Jesus impresses upon us that the whole second part of the Lord's Prayer is subservient to the first part. In other words, the prayer for daily bread, the forgiveness of sins, and deliverance from evil are subservient to our prayers for God's name to be hallowed, His kingdom to come, and His will to be done. And applied to the fourth petition, this means that we do not ask, Jesus is not teaching us to pray for daily bread simply for the satisfaction of our bellies, simply for the providing of strength for our bodies and minds to continue to work. But Jesus is impressing upon us that we need earthly necessities in order to be able to hallow God's name, to pray for the coming of His kingdom and to seek the doing of His will with zeal and faithfulness. In other words, that Jesus teaches us to pray, give us our daily bread so that we may serve and glorify Thee and represent Thy cause and kingdom in the world. But this order also teaches us something that goes contrary to the thoughts of many hearts in the church, even in the church today, which is also that in this prayer, we do not have a promise that we will never be in want. The popular gospel, at least in America today, in which America is exporting to many other countries of the world, is that for those who are believers, for those who have enough faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, earthly want and earthly hunger and earthly destitution will be things of the past. If you have enough faith, God will give you abundance. If you can name it and claim it, God will honor that by giving you your necessities and to spare. God will make sure that you are financially prosperous, that you always have a full belly, and that you never suffer need. But beloved, that is not what Scripture says. The Bible is clear that we must expect suffering for righteousness' sake in this world. And that this suffering may very well mean that our portion of daily bread becomes very small. And that we suffer hunger and thirst and even starvation and death from it. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27 that for the sake of God's kingdom and in order to be faithful in doing the will of God in his life, he was in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And Hebrews 11 verse 37, which relates the stories of faith of God's saints, what they did by faith throughout the history of the Old Testament, summarizes their sufferings by saying that they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, because they had no clothes other than the skins of animals and no homes to live in. And furthermore, the Bible is very clear that there comes a time in the future, also in our land of plenty, where everything is at our fingertips and where anything that we may need or want is two-day Amazon shipping away. Also in our land, there will come the time when we shall not be able to buy and sell unless we receive the mark of the beast. That's Revelation 13 verse 17. And Jesus teaches when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that there may be times in our life when seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as it was for the Apostle Paul, means that we are in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So Jesus teaches us first that petition for daily bread takes a second place in the Lord's Prayer, to the glory of God and the hallowing of His name, the coming of His kingdom and the doing of His will. And secondly, Jesus teaches us by giving us these words that we are to live as God's people on the level of a very simple life as far as earthly things are concerned, which also goes against the grain of our natural inclinations and the inclinations of our culture. Jesus teaches us to pray for bread and nothing more than that. You're well aware that that word bread is a figure of speech where part is understood for the whole. And bread speaks of and means, refers to every earthly necessity that we require for life in this world. The whole mass of things we need to live on earth, clothing and shelter, as well as food, heat, vehicles and the gas to operate them with, a living wage in a stable job. These are earthly necessities. These are bread. Yet this word bread excludes everything that is above and beyond the things strictly necessary for our physical and earthly existence. We can't stretch this to refer to luxuries, dainties, and delicacies. The hundreds and thousands of things that have been produced over time for the enjoyment of man, for the comfort of earthly life, making it not only livable, but comfortable. These are not included in the fourth petition. This isn't to say, you understand that we may not have luxuries, that we may not have dainties and delicacies if it is our Heavenly Father's will to give us these things, and that we may not enjoy them with thanksgiving. Because 1 Timothy 6 verse 17 says, our living God gives us richly all things to enjoy. And the creation around us testifies to that. God gives this creation richly to us. In the blossoming of the trees, in the singing of the birds, in all the delights of spring that meet our eyes wherever we go, the lilies of the field. And to us, He gives much more than we need. To pray for our daily bread when we expect it to be there when we get home. And our cupboards and in our fridges testifies to the abundant giving of our God. But Jesus teaches us that we may not set our hearts on these things, seek them or covet them. That luxuries, dainties, and delicacies are very much, as it were, icing on the cake for which we cannot complain if they are absent from the bread of our life. We don't pray for riches, for coffee, or fair trade or otherwise, for sugar, for cake and pie, for pretty clothes, for comfortable homes, all the latest technology. Jesus teaches us to live on a very simple level. Give us bread. And there's three ways in which He does that in the language that He uses. First, by the word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Now the word that Jesus uses in Matthew 6 verse 11, or where He gives this fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, is a word that doesn't exactly mean daily. And there's confusion about what exactly it does mean, because it's only found in Matthew 6 verse 11 in the whole New Testament. But it's good to understand this word, perhaps not so much as daily, but as proper, or as the proper portion of our daily necessities. And that's why I titled the sermon, What I Did, Give Us Today Our Proper Portion. That is, give us our own portion of daily necessities. Proverbs 30 verses 7 and 8 speak in this way, when Agur, the son of Jacob, the writer of Proverbs 30, says, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. And that word convenient in Proverbs 30 has the same idea that daily does in Jesus' words in Matthew 6, verse 11. The proper portion. Earthly necessities that are convenient for us at a particular time and in particular circumstances in our life. And those vary. Those are not always the same. And it is, those are not the same for all of God's people. The proper portion for a family with many children at home is different than the proper portion for those who are empty nesters. The proper portion for a single child of God, whether younger or older, is different than those of a married couple. The needs of an older saint, day by day, are distinct from those who are younger in years and in experience. Our proper portion varies according to our God-ordained circumstances in life. And Jesus taught us to ask our Heavenly Father, in whatsoever state we are, to pray for our proper portion. Secondly, Jesus teaches us to assume this simple level of daily existence with the words, this day, this day. The creation account in Genesis 1 and 2 speaks of the evening and the morning as the first, second, and so forth day. And that's the time that the time period Jesus has in mind when he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Doesn't mean that we ask our Heavenly Father to give us so much that we feel secure for this week, or for this month of May, or for this year of our life, if the Lord tarries and if it's His will that we live. But for this day, this day, May 1, 2022, Jesus teaches us to assume the attitude that he exhorts in Matthew 6, verse 25. Take no thought for your life. And in verse 34, when he's summing up everything that he says, take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And you know, I think that those words, take no thought, and we'll come to this again later, don't mean that we are not to think about the morrow at all, that we are not to think about life at all, but to block it out of our minds, to compartmentalize it. That's not the idea, but it is, do not be anxious. Do not worry. Do not be consumed with fear of the unknown or paralyzed by uncertainty about the morrow and your daily needs for that day. For one thing, tomorrow isn't ours. We are children of the moment. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, do not boast yourself of tomorrow. Tomorrow's not even guaranteed, is the idea. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. To ask for today is sufficient. And if it's the case, maybe, I don't know, if it is the case for you or for me that today, as dusk of evening settles around us and we do not have bread in the house, the means to buy bread for another day, but the Lord did provide us our proper portion for this day, that we thank Him for that and that we trust that when we wake up tomorrow, He will do the same all over again. That He heard our prayer today and fulfilled His word. Give us our proper portion. Give us this day our daily bread. said I had three things that Jesus says to emphasize that we are to live on a simple earthly level. Actually, those are the only two, that we are to ask for our proper portion, and we are to ask for that today. And now, obviously, the teaching of Jesus is going to intersect with the circumstances on the horizontal of our daily life. And those circumstances may be such that we hear what Jesus means, and we're reminded of it, and we understand what Jesus is saying, but there's a battle in our life and in our heart between the teaching of Christ and the hard realities of our daily existence and the real uncertainties that we and our families may be facing. So we need to understand, first of all, we're praying for grace. We're praying for grace to acknowledge that God is sovereign and that His power over all things is complete, and therefore our dependence on Him and on Him alone must be total. We're praying for grace to acknowledge God's sovereign will over all things and for total dependence on Him. After all, He is the Lord. His kingdom rules over all. In whatever way and by whatever means and through whatever channels, near or far, we obtain our daily bread, we boast not in ourselves. We don't boast in our ability. We don't boast, as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, in our care. That's referring to our thinking and to our planning, or our industry, the hard work we put in, the hours that we clock, the toil and the labor that we expend. We don't trust in those earthly things. We don't even trust in the gifts of God themselves, that they are good gifts that come from God. We do not trust in those gifts themselves, but in the living God. We pray for grace. We need that grace, as much as the people to whom Jesus was speaking in Matthew 6 needed it. They were people who were what we might call lived a subsistence existence. They were subsistence farmers, living literally day by day, putting their crops in the springtime, praying for the rain and sunshine of God to fall upon them, watching their growth minutely over the course of the summer months, and wondering day by day if the conditions faithful to the continued growth of their crops would continue, or whether in a moment their entire earthly existence would be put in jeopardy by a calamity, a hailstorm or a deluge of rain or some other act of God that would make the future far more uncertain and put their earthly existence very much in jeopardy. Jesus was speaking to people like that, who literally were growing their own food, drawing their own water out of wells, and making their own clothes to put on. They needed to hear Jesus' words, "Take no thought. Do not be anxious. Do not worry." They needed to know and to be impressed with the need to pray for grace, to trust God's sovereignty totally. But we need that grace too. We who are rich by the standards in comparison to God's people in many countries in the world today and in most of history past. We need grace to acknowledge that God's sovereign will and power over all things brings food to our cupboards and to our table, and that we depend on Him totally for all our earthly portion. His hand sets our tables. He supplies our daily bread. He clothes our bodies. He gives us our vehicle and the gas to run it with. He heats our home and keeps the roof over our head. This is true no matter what our position in the world is. Whether we are a farmer or whether we are an office worker who is farther removed from the maze of economic and industrial and agricultural relationships that exist in our world to provide food for mankind. As believers, we know that our Heavenly Father rules and governs all these relationships. It's His will whether the wheels of industry are busy, whether the wheels of the trucks are rolling, whether there is labor for our hands, or whether we are unemployed. It is His sovereign will whether we are able to work and provide for ourselves and those who are dependent on us. Those things don't depend, thank God, ultimately on us, but on the only fountain of all good, our God in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as His children, we pray for grace to acknowledge His fatherly hand in all the circumstances that provide our daily bread. And secondly, we're praying for faithfulness and intentionality in our daily calling. This prayer, of course, presupposes that we don't strive anxiously or greedily to secure our bread in a way that is contrary to the will of God. That's why Agur, the son of Jacob, in Proverbs 30, verse 8 says, "Remove this far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and say, 'Who is the Lord?'" That's the attitude of the rich, the ungodly rich. "Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." He recognizes that if it is God's will that he come into a situation of poverty, that stealing, that of acquiring earthly necessities by unrighteous means will be a real temptation. And so he prays already in times of prosperity for the grace to remain faithful to God, whatever his earthly circumstances may be. And for us, we pray for that intentionality and faithfulness in the wholesome daily labor that God has given us. We thank Him for our work. We apply our hands diligently to the tasks of the day. We apply our minds to that work which requires the use of our minds. We recognize that Jesus' words, "Take no thought for the morrow, take no thought for your life," does not mean sit back, twiddle your thumbs, and wait for God to drop all of His blessings, His gifts on you out of heaven. He certainly does that. He provides even if we are not working. But the fact that He does provide never eliminates the calling to be faithful, to be diligent in the work that He has given for us. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Whosoever does not provide for his own household is one who denies the faith and is worse than an infidel." Jesus teaches us to pray for an honest work, for the wisdom to handle our finances well, to intentionally lay up for the future without putting trust in these things. Jesus teaches us to pray that the promise and the words of Ecclesiastes that are often repeated through the book of Ecclesiastes be fulfilled in our own experience. It is good for a man to work, to rest, to eat the labor of his hands, to drink, and to enjoy good in his labor. This is from the hand of God. To understand what Jesus is saying and to pray as he has taught us is a deeply spiritual thing. Because Jesus places us on an earthly life that is very simple, we need a very high level of spirituality. So it goes without saying, as we've said already, the natural man, the unbeliever, cannot take this position on his lips or on her lips. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, Jesus says, and that's as true today as it ever was. Because by nature, people don't just want bread. They don't want the necessities of life. They don't want their proper portion for the day. They want the world. They want abundance. They want luxury. They ultimately want what they can't have. And what they will always elude their reach, the ability to control their own fate. Earthly things are a drug to the world, and to see that, simply look at how much strife, how much violence there is in the world, not over necessities, but over things like drugs, guns, material things, gang violence, unrest in inner cities, a struggle for survival. But more than that, a struggle for the world. A struggle to be the top dog. A struggle to be the biggest gun. And how can any unbeliever know any different? It is the knowledge of Christ that gives us any other kind of mind. It is only by faith in Christ that any human being comes to any other understanding than my life is in my hands and I need to get as much as I can for myself. I need to eat and drink today because tomorrow I die. Without Christ, there's no hope beyond this world. No unbeliever knows the transcendent joy in the confession of Psalm 63, verse 3, that God's loving kindness is better than life. So it's small wonder then that they serve mammon. And no one in the service of mammon can pray, give us this day our daily bread. And for those with abundance, Psalm 73 makes it very clear that these are not gifts expressing God's favor for those who are rich and ungodly, but these are in fact, this is as it were grease that is applied to the slide that they are on down to destruction. These things serve their condemnation, not their good in any sense. And that's clear from the fact that as Agur, the son of Jacob, says in Proverbs 30, verse 9, the wicked are those who, when they're full, say, "Who is the Lord?" They have no need of God. They believe they have it all. Beloved, with us it is, and it ought to be very different. Because we live by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, exalted, who was rich and became poor for our sakes. We've been called to the service of the living God through faith in Christ. So the proper portion of our earthly things is not an end in itself. It is not that for which we live, but it is a means to an end. It's the capital that's entrusted to us so that invest in our in life daily to the glory and service of God. We don't live and exist to eat and drink and to make merry, but to live in the service of God. We're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so, as Paul puts it in Colossians 3 verse 1, if you are risen with Christ to new life, you seek the things that are above where Jesus sits on the right hand of God. The things that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 6. The treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot corrupt, where thieves cannot break through or climb up to heaven and take away, because they are laid up for us with God in Christ. God is not ashamed to be called our God. He is building for us, and He has for us a city with foundations. We're only pilgrims in this world. And as we move day by day towards our heavenly home, Jesus teaches us to ask for the proper portion to get us along on the journey for 24 more hours. So as we pull up stakes to continue, our prayer is, give us this day our proper portion. Secondly, about the spirituality required, it's described in the biblical word contentment. Paul says to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4 verse 11, I have learned whoever to be content. Contentment is the spiritual virtue or quality where my inner state of heart is in harmony with the will of God for me as that will of God is realized in my life, in my circumstances, in the proper portion daily necessities that He's pleased to give. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 4 verse 7. Thou hast given me more joy, more gladness than the time when their corn and oil were increased. He's comparing himself there to the wicked who rejoice in the abundance of corn and oil and wine. The psalmist says, I don't have an abundance of corn of food, oil, and wine. I don't have an abundance of necessities, and I don't even have an abundance of luxuries. But God has given me more gladness than if I had all of those things, because He's given me Himself. And so I am able to say day by day, I'm not anxious for tomorrow. If I have no food or drink left tonight, and I don't know how I'll obtain breakfast tomorrow, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to worry, because I have God. And I know that He's given me Himself in Jesus. And that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and my heart cannot understand the treasures that He's laid up for me in heaven. And I have the promise that He knows that I have need of all of these things. And so I'm going to seek Him first and His kingdom. Beloved, that takes grace. And so let's pray in Jesus' name. Give us grace, Father, to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us not to be anxious, but to rest. Amen.